Good morning, church. I hope you enjoy the good weather. It's been really good. This morning we are going back to continue with the series on Daniel. And this morning we are going to look at Daniel chapter 7. This chapter is an interesting one. The last time JC was speaking about in Daniel, he was introducing now the change. So far we have come across talking about different things that happened in the past, where we saw the Hebrew guys performing their duties in the royal palace and demonstrate the existence and the reality of who God is in the presence of ungodly nations and people. And we saw them walking in the fire without being burned, and then we saw Daniel in the lion's den and all that. And now from this chapter onwards, we are changing where Daniel's book is recording things that he saw in visions about the future. So we are going to look at that this morning, starting from this chapter. It's quite a lot to cover. And we'll read the whole chapter because it's very interesting. It's a bit difficult to interpret, but hopefully as we go through, we'll understand a bit more. Daniel chapter 7. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, the 2020 version. Yeah. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and told the following summary of it. Daniel said, "I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion, but it had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and set up on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was also given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, resembling a bear, and it was raised up on its side, and three ribs were on its mouth between its teeth. And they said to it, arise, devour much meat. And after this, I kept looking, and behold, another one, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. But the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the previous horns were plucked out before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like human eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts. I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames, its wheels were burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were serving him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court convened, and the books were open. Then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was killed and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, honor, and a kingdom, so that all the peoples, nations, and populations of all languages might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. I approached one of those who were standing by and began requesting of him the exact meaning of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and take possession of the kingdom forever, for all ages to come. Then I desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its claws of bronze, and which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with its feet. And the meaning of the eye of the horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which three of the horns fell, namely, that horn which had eyes and mouth uttering great boasts, and which was larger in appearance than its associates. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. This is what he said. The fourth beast will be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth and trample it down and crush it. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom, ten kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones and will humble three kings. He will speak against the Most High and wear down the saints of the highest one. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in laws. And they will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will convene for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the empires will serve and obey him. At this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face became pale, but I kept the matter to myself. That is quite a reading, wasn't it? Let me have a little drink first, yeah? The chapter is like a play with two scenes, right? The first scene, we see terrible beast. The creatures, they look interesting. And the second scene, we see separate identities. We have the Ancient of Days, whoever he is, the Son of Man, a multitude of people, millions and millions of people, right? So the four creatures in the first scene, the three were, have some features that look like animals, and the fourth one was very different. There's no description of what he looked like, but other than saying that it was terrible and ferocious, very violent. The first scene, the creatures came up from the sea. And the second scene, we see things and people coming from heaven with the clouds. And the first scene, we see dreadful beasts and creatures that are very violent, trying to outdo each other, killing people. And we see the other one is very majestic and peaceful, and people were having fun and enjoy. And we see the first scene, the creatures were trying to be powerful, but their power and dominion was taken away. And we see the other, the people in the second scenes, we're just worshiping, and we're given dominion and kingdoms forever. And so the first scene, the creatures in there ended up with a very terrible ending. And the second scene, we see a hopeful and fantastic and majestic ending, right? Now let's look at the text a bit more detail. First of all, this vision was taken, was seen during the first year of Belshazzar. I think that's how you pronounce the name. In the Tongan pronunciation, we call him Belshazzar. So if I pronounce it like Tongan, yeah, sorry, I mean the same guy. Belshazzar. And so it is the first year. When he became first year, then Daniel saw this dream. But we read in chapter 5 at the end of this fella, of this king. He was talking about how, you know, how he saw the handwriting. That was his last end. So Daniel saw the first year. And he wrote down in his diary and recorded this dream for us, for his people and for us to learn from, because he knew that these things were important in looking at the future. And in the first scene, we saw the first one was like a lion, but it had wings on its wings of an eagle. And the wings were plucked out, and he stood on his two feet, and he was given the mind of a man. And that means his power was taken away. And while he was watching, he saw another one coming up from the sea, the bear. And then he stood up, and his teeth, there were three ribs on his teeth, so demonstrating the ferocity of this beast towards people, and devoured much meat and killing people. And then while he was watching, there was a leopard that had four wings on his back and had dominion and four heads. Interesting creatures. And then while he was watching, there was one like, he didn't look like an animal, because obviously, I think other version of the Bible, they say it was a dragon. Whatever dragon looks like, we've never seen one. But it was described as dreadful and terrible, extremely strong, and had large iron teeth, and devoured, crushed, and trampled the remainder with its feet. It sounds very, very violent, this fella, this creature. Its feet and claws of bronze, we learned that from verse 19, it was terrifying and different from the previous ones. It had 10 horns, and a little horn grew up, and three were plucked before it, and it grew to be stronger than the rest. It had eyes and mouth like a man, and it uttered great boast. So these are the scenes, the first scene. So basically, we have here the scene was that the wind was blowing from the four corners of the earth. And in the Bible, wind is interpreted as spirits. you see the spiritual interference of everything in history. In our history, and out of that turbulence, the three beasts will come out. What does that mean? We'll look into that later, yeah? And so there was one looked like a lion, a bear, and then a leopard with 10 horns, and then this creature here is describe his impact on our history. But we'll talk to it a bit more. And then the second scene in our play on Daniel's dream, he saw the Ancient of Days, you know, and there were thrones set up, and he took his seat. So the Ancient of Days, we make it easy. We are not going to go back and prove to you that Ancient of Days is the name given to God as the Father himself, yeah? God himself. And he took his seat. There were a number of thrones in there because it's the brutal. You know, the thrones were set up in the court. So he was described as something majestic, and it was like this. His garment was like white as snow. His hair was pure wool. Everything around him was a flaming fire. His seat was a place with fire. The wheels of his seat were burning fire, and river of fire flowed from before him, and thousands of thousands stood before him, and the court began, and the books were open. So the second scene in the play, we see the Ancient of Days. Can you imagine that? The Ancient of Days showing up, and it's probably very difficult to look at because the brilliance of everything. He was his hair. It's like wool, and you know, and so the fire and everything. And I wonder what happened to the beast. The beast was looking at this because they, with all their power, they'll be so terrified with this majestic God himself showing up in the scene. He took his seat, and there were millions of people were serving him. Thousands upon thousands were serving him before him, and it says that the court began and the books were open. It's time for judgment. And we move on. And then the Son of Man came. Yeah, Son of Man, we're not going to labor on it, but it's the name Jesus used for himself. He called himself the Son of Man. When he called himself the Son of Man, he was quoting from Daniel. Because, you know, when he was stood before the judges, the Jewish leaders, and he said, "Tell us if you are the Messiah." And he said, "I am. But I also tell you that you will see the Son of Man coming with the angel of the clouds." You know, so basically, he identified himself, and that's the name he has used. He used to identify himself. So the Son of Man came on the clouds of heavens and was presented to the Ancient of Days. He was given dominion, glory, and kingdom, and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and men of every language must serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom will not be destroyed. So in the middle of all that, the court case, the Son of Man was coming on the clouds and stood before the Father, and he was honored. He was honored. I try not to be emotional, but because there's a lot to describe here. And excuse me, I'm always excited when I read things like this. And so he was presented, so he was given a nation. He was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all peoples, nations of men in every language might serve him. So he was honored among everything. So the dominion was given to him, so everybody on the whole universe will serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom will not be destroyed. Yeah, it's way beyond our ability to describe what that looks like. But it's something absolutely fantastic to see the Son honored in front of millions and millions of people by the Father himself. Yeah. And later on in verse 21 and 22, when Daniel was speaking to explain to the angel his dream, we also learn that when that the beast was waging war with the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and the judges was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. So when Daniel was speaking to the angel to ask for the interpretation, he added that piece. He's not describing the things he saw. But it was so there was a court case. We don't know, there's very little detail on how the court case, it would have been fun to hear what that was like. There's not much detail in there, but it said that the court decision was in favor of the saints of the Most High. I wonder who are the saints of the Most High. I think we'll make it easy. The saints of the Most High are actually Christians. One of the things is we read passages like this, we have to make sure that we are the saints of the Most High. You know, the definition of the church, and our commentators say that there are people within the church who sing the song, but they never make any decision in their heart to allow Christ to rule their lives. So Christians in every church we know in, there is a visible church where people were actually identified by God's belonging, because I come from different cultures, and I'm sad to say that there's a lot of these people sitting in the church singing the song, they never make a commitment to follow Christ. It's sad. So the saints of the Most High are Christians. So make sure you part, because that's the biggest message of this one. That is the end part of my message, but I give it to you now as I remember. Otherwise, I forget when we get there. Now, interpretation. You see, before I get into the interpretation part of the text, I want to give you three schools of thought on how this is interpreted. You know, it's basically the beast. You see, Daniel didn't ask for clarification of the judgment and all that. He understood all that, so he didn't ask for explanation of that. He asked mainly for the beast, and Daniel could not understand or interpret his own dreams. You know, imagine how frustration this must have been for him, given that he was able to interpret dreams that he didn't see for other people and for the kings. Now his own dreams, he couldn't understand it. And so people, as Daniel, tried to understand what it meant. But you see, the scholars and commentators put their own interpretation on the basis of history. And these are the school for three different schools of thought. The first one is cultural interpretation. Those who interpret different beasts do mean various movements that influence our history and our culture. We're talking about the dominance of music that influence our culture. We have seen the influence of woke ideology and its many different effects on our culture, and the dominion of the Muslim movement over the world, or the current impact of technology in everything we do. Most of the influences of these things are quite negative and ungodly, and some people interpret that this means that. I am not quite sure how easy it is for us to put them into different beasts, because there are so many of movements coming to influence our culture. So I'm not quite sure if I believe that. And the other one is the traditional interpretation. The traditional interpretation is saying the empires, the beasts that we see here, are the same, referring to the same empires in chapter 2, Malcolm spoke about the, you know, the statue where there's a gold and silver and so forth, and representing Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And if you read the most commentaries, look at this beast, actually the same thing, same ones, as the one that the chapter 2 was referring to. And that is how they interpret it to be the same thing. But there's also the alternative interpretation, which I like, and I believe that is true. It's basically led by David Paulson. If you read his writing about this beast, he said that there are three reasons why that traditional interpretation could be wrong. The first one, the history of these empires does not fit the features of the beast. For example, 10 kings never ruled Rome. Never. Greece never started with four heads. The beast here had four heads from the beginning, because Alexander led Greece, and when he died, the government of the power of the kingdom was given to his four generals. So that doesn't fit the description of the Lebanon. And three, the empire did not arise during a global chaos, the spiritual chaos. See, those empires, the chaos that we see today was never there at the time of those empires rising up. But that's the first reason, it doesn't fit the description. Secondly, Medo-Persia is named in chapter 8 to be like a ram. The chapter 8 also named Greece to be like a goat. And I don't think the Holy Spirit will inform Daniel in this chapter to be like a leopard and then like something else in the next chapter. So Greece and Medo-Persia were named differently, a ram and a goat. And number three, all four empires to rise in the future. See, this dream happened in the last stage, the last king. So Babylon was just about to go, it's gone. But the empires we're looking at, the future, they will rise in the future. So that doesn't fit either. And then the main one is verse 12. The three beasts will survive when the fourth beast is destroyed. So it's basically clear here in verse 12 that when the beast is killed and annihilated, the other three are reserved for a period of time. So all these empires have been and gone. The Romans have gone, the Greeks have gone. So the interpretation, the alternative interpretation is what I believe is probably right. So that leaves us to speculate which is the first one, which is the first beast, because so we know. And I think it's hard. David Paulson thinks that the first beast is Britain and the second beast is Russia. He has his reasons. But it's interesting. I think what's important for us to look out for the final beast, which will we get into. See, Daniel couldn't understand his own dreams. So he was really annoyed and reached out to one of the angels who was standing by. And he asked, what are these mean? What do these mean, the beast means? And it was interesting in verse 17 and 18, the angel gave a very simple interpretation. And this is what he said. These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. What I wanted to realize how simple this answer was given. It's a very simple answer. There will be four kings arise, but the kingdom and authority will be given to the highest one, to the saints of the highest one. It was not part of the interpretation of the question, but you see, he wanted to emphasize and to encourage Daniel, there will be four kings rising up, but the highest one, the saints of the highest one, will receive the dominion, the power and kingdom forever and ever. And I find that very, very interesting. Because, and I think this is the whole of this chapter, there is a ferocious empire that we're going to talk about shortly, but there is also a lot of hope coming after that for the saints, for the Christians. Yeah? And it's exciting to read. So when he gave this interpretation, which is very simple, there'll be four kings will arise in the future. And Daniel didn't like it, or he was not happy. He continued to push on. And then he said he was most interested in the fourth beast and all its future and features. Because if you read the text, you realize that the three beasts in this chapter covered only three verses each, one each. And in the fourth piece had something like nine verses, because the emphasis is on the fourth piece. And that's what he says here. And he was saying with all, you know, I wanted to know, how can it, the fourth beast with all its features, teeth of iron and claws of bronze, which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with its feet. What is the meaning of the little horn who grew up and dominated everyone and uttered great boasts? And which waged war against the saints and prevailed against them? And then the angel gave the interpretation from verse 22 and 25, 23 to 25. This is what he said. The fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth and trample it down and crush it. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom, ten kings will arise, and another will arise after them. And he will be different from the previous ones, and will humble three kings. And he will speak against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in laws. And they will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. Now, what the angel is trying to describe here is that the last empire of our history is going to be a ferocious and violent one. We are talking here, the Bible language, we call him the Antichrist. Antichrist. But you see, the word anti doesn't mean they go against Christ, but it means instead of. And this guy here will make himself strong. There will be a new government, world government. You know, those of you who are old like me in the early 80s and late 70s, there were three books written by Barry Smith. I think the one that was Warning, Second Warning, and the Final Warning, or something like that, and was talking about the world government. These are the first books ever written about the world government. In previous ones, there were a number of books written about the world government, and they all removed from the bench. And whoever published the book, in a week or so, the whole publication disappeared. Because the people who were behind it didn't want people to know or read about the world government. But now it's very open. You hear the leaders of the political leaders talking about the world government. This problem can only be solved if we have a world government. And out of this whole mess, there will be 10 kings who will arise. And in the middle of that, one little one who will rise and humble three kings. And he will make himself dominant among the others, and he become the ruler of the whole earth. He will dominate the world, and he will focus on rules that are not godly at all. And now some people, for example, they will say they will shorten the week, so 6-day week instead of 7 weeks, 7 day. Because Sunday for worship is gone. You're not going to worship God anymore. And they will force people to worship him. Don't worship anybody. Worship him as God. Instead of worshiping Christ, we'll worship him. And he will change the rules, and rules like marriage, for example, you know, where we have rules about marriage as men, you know. We have seen that the rule about marriage is very different in other places of the world. It's starting, you know, starting to see. And all these things that he intended, and he will be very violent against Christians. And for people who won't be able to follow his rule will be killed. I think next, Howard will talk next week about the one of his system is putting a mark on ourselves. You can't buy or sell until you have that mark of the beast. You know, and it's going to be very, very bad. But I like the ending of the interpretation. In verse 26, where the angels say, "But the court will convene for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever." See, the beast will end up destroyed forever. And I think it's so encouraging for us to think about how we are part of God's plan, because simply because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah? And he says, verse 27, "Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all empires will serve and obey him," talking about Jesus Christ. And that's the chapter. And it was clear that there was a court proceedings, and Daniel didn't really ask any explanation of all that. He knew. He only asked about the fourth beast. And we see the overruling strength and power of the Ancient of Days, that he killed the beast and let go of the Christian, and the Christian will rule forever in the kingdom. Kingdom will be given to you. For goodness sake, what are you going to do with the kingdom, my friend? You know, but you see, that's the end. That's the end of our history. We'll end up with Christ ruling the kingdom. I have no time to cover this. I'll cover this very quickly. There's a lot of biblical stuff here, but I'll tell you the story very quickly. There are two things here. There are saints that were standing and served the king, served God. And there are saints which are suffering during the tribulation. The word tribulation I haven't used, but that's pretty much what this piece is about. The great tribulation for 3.5 years. There are saints in there that are suffering. And the question is, what is happening to that saints? What's the difference between that saints and those chains? And this, what I'm going to tell you is kind of controversial. People believe different things. But this is what is happening. There is an event called rapture. You read John 14 when Jesus said, I'll go and prepare a place for I'll come and take you. So where I am, you would be also. And there is 1 Thessalonians, and Thessalonians chapter 4 and chapter 5 give more details than 1 Corinthians 15. About the rapture, rapture is not a word used by the thing, but it's talking about the disappearing of all the Christians. And there's an issue. The number one is the rapture. People don't really believe the rapture, but it's clear in the Bible that Christians are going to be taken away, caught up with Christ in the clouds. He's going to come and take you. And the second issue is the timing of that rapture, when it's happened. But I see I don't have time to prove that will happen before the tribulations. So you'll be gone. Make sure you fly on that fly, please. Fly with that, with the angels. And you see, and those are the people who will serve the king on chapter 7. They are the people who stood before the Ancient of Kings. And how about the people who suffered the tribulation. Because what happened, when that happened, when we all disappear, people realize, oh, Christ is the Messiah. Especially the Jews, they realize, actually, we crucify him. But he is the Messiah. And that will result in huge revivals where people come to Christ, they realize, oh, this is it. I wish I disappeared with these people. And that's when the tribulation, they will suffer. They will suffer a lot because the Bible teaches that every soul on earth will suffer the tribulation. And many Christians will be killed. But you see, in Revelations, we read about the question, Revelation 7, who are these people? And they say, you know, those are those who survive the tribulation. And we'll end up with all of them. So, ladies and gentlemen, my time is up. But I just want to emphasize my point. Make sure you're part of the saints. Make sure you know that Christ rules in your life. Make sure that his death and resurrection save you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you enjoy that? I enjoyed reading this chapter. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this chapter. Thank you for what you revealed to Daniel. And through this, we learn a lot about your plan for us. And we want to thank you that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to save wretched sinners like us. We ask that as we journey in this life, Lord, give us courage to continue to hold on to you in the chaos of our time. We want to stay true to your word and love you as we go. May your name be blessed forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.